Oh, what is going on, everybody? Oh, you cannot see me. What is going on, everybody? How is everybody doing? That is right. It is Wednesday. Oh, I'm sorry. It's Thursday night. I should know this by now. It is Thursday night, everybody. I hope all of you are doing well. I am doing well. NORAB in the chat, I hope you, sir, are also doing well. And we've got a few things, obviously, to get into tonight. As NORAB is saying in the chat, TNA is doing their 1,000th episode tonight. You say what you want about them, but 1,000 episodes is pretty fucking impressive. That is pretty damn impressive. So I'm hoping Smart's going to be joining me a little bit later tonight. I don't know where Mommy is. Hopefully Smart's going to be coming on in here with me. I don't think he was taking tonight off. I'm going to get Skype loaded back up here because I closed it down in order to get this camera working real quick. But I'm going to load Skype back up and see if Smark is on. Maybe we'll give him a try in a minute or two here, but, Bing in Skype. Let's just skip for now. I just had an update in Skype, so, let me try, I'll try Smark one more time. Real quick, folks, let's just give it a shot one more time here. One time we'll try Smark. Nope, he's not on, I can tell already. I can tell already. So, all right, we'll just keep going with what we were going to be doing here. That's not a problem at all. We'll leave Skype loaded up for when Smart does call in. And trust me, we got plenty to still get into tonight, so I'm not even that worried about it. We got some Hacksaw Jim Duggan talk. We've got Matt Riddle starting police investigations. We've got a few other things to talk about. Obviously, the deal is done, folks. The deal is done. The deal has gone down. The deal with WWE and UFC has finalized. That is it. Endeavor and WWE finalized. They are now traded as TKO. And I got a feeling it's probably going to be a very good thing for both companies. We'll see what happens. I don't think we're going to see many changes. Vince may not have majority ownership anymore, but everything's still going to probably fall down to Vince. I don't see the UFC guys, the Zuffa guys, whatever they are now, trying to come in and try to control something they don't really know much about. So I think it'll be just fine out there. But we'll definitely get into that. And we've got something that Dana White, when someone, a little comparison he laughed at, and definitely going to be talking some Jade Cargill tonight. And of course, the top 10 for the PWI 500 came out. We'll be talking about the top 10 too. Like I said, hopefully Smark will be joining me, but no big deal. We can go ahead and start this bad boy off right now. And of course, later we'll get into AEW Dynamite, so that won't be bad at all. But excuse me, folks, but we can definitely go ahead and I guess and kick this bad boy off. A few things that are kind of not that, I mean, important but not pressingly important, we can go ahead and get into real quick here. And we'll go ahead and start off right here by Wrestling Inc. You guys can see it right up there, Wrestling Inc. article. And basically, it is Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Over the weekend, we had heard he had some emergency surgery. It still, I don't think, has been out what he was in for. But anyway, you see here, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. He's already been taking pictures and everything, and he is back home and feeling better. But says here, WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan has been released from the hospital following emergency surgery over the weekend. A post to former former WCW United States Champions X, formerly Twitter, account thanked the medical staff at the Glen Falls Hospital. The post also thanked Duggan's fans for their thoughts and prayers. On Sunday, Duggan's wife posted a statement. We'll just go ahead and go to the statement. No reason to read the whole article there. It says, hey, you see here from Hacksaw out of the hospital. Big thanks to the doctors, nurses, and staff at the Glen Falls Hospital. You made a rough few days much easier. Also, thanks to all who had a thought and a prayer for me as well as we went through this difficult time. Love you. And there's a picture of him and his family right there. You see that? Ah, there we go. Now we can see it a little better. And sorry about my dogs barking in the background. I don't know why no one can keep it quiet out there. But, hey, who am I? Hey, Hacksaw has been through a few things, actually, we can see right here. He has battled prostate cancer in recent years. He's fought kidney cancer in the 90s when he was still with WCW. This guy has been through a few things. And if you remember, he stopped a break-in attempt and held the guy at gunpoint. There you go. That's just another thing to show what a real badass this guy is. But, I'm glad to see he's out of the hospital doing well. But, my God, this guy is a fucking train. He just doesn't want to stop. He just keeps going and going and going. That's good, though. That's great for Hacksaw, though. Always was a fan of Hacksaw. I think everybody is. He's just kind of that. You never hear a bad story about the guy, ever. Whenever someone talks about Hacksaw, it's just what a great fucking guy he is. So, you know, just really nice to hear that he's out of the hospital doing well. Emergency surgery is never good to hear. Those are two words we don't usually want to hear. But he's doing well. So that's all we can... That's a damn good thing we can hope for right there. But like I said, I'm hoping Smark shows up here. I'm taking a look. He's still not in here. We'll try him one more time. We'll give him another, I'll give him 5 more minutes. Maybe we'll give him one more try, and we'll just kind of go from there, folks. I mean, like I said, we're going to keep rolling for now. But it's not a problem at all. We're going to go ahead and close this article, folks, in just a second here. I'm going to go ahead and here. I'll do this right here. But, yeah, great to see him out of there. So we're going to go ahead and close this and move along. Matt Riddle, who has been in the news a lot lately. We all know that. He's been in the news a little bit lately. Once again, this weekend, made news for... nothing he did wrong. He did have to delete a post, but that's about all he had to do, really. And authorities have actually launched an investigation into his allegations that he was sexually assaulted and harassed by a police officer at JFK Airport in New York. Here we go. We're going to go down a little bit here. We scroll down. Follow along, folks. With me. So, little rundown. Now, this is right off Yahoo News, folks. As I'm doing this, I'm going to try to get more legit news sources up here for you guys to look at instead of less dirt sheets. Well, I guess if you could call the Yahoo News a dirt sheet, too, if you want, whatever. But I'm going to try to get more what seems to be legit news sources up here for everybody as we scroll through these. So police have launched a probe into WWE wrestler Matt Riddle's allegations of sexual assault. Riddle said in a now deleted post that he was sexually assaulted by an officer at a JFK airport. TMZ reported the incident is under investigation. A Port Authority police spokesperson. Jesus. Told Insider, I can't speak tonight. It's not good. Police have launched a probe, as I just said. The spokesperson, which has jurisdiction over the three major airports, including JFK, told Insider, this was originally on Yahoo Insider, that the incident is under investigation when asked about the allegations. Port Authority police spokesperson would not provide any more additional information. Now, here's where kind of it all started. This is where it started right here. You'll see these highlighted little segment here. He put out a tweet that said, nothing like being sexually assaulted by an officer and harassed at JFK Airport. No means no. And just because I'm nice doesn't mean yes. Asshole. And there you go. So you can read the post from Instagram, his Instagram account. I'm sorry, it wasn't Twitter, it was Instagram. And if we were to scroll past this picture, we'll get back to that picture in a minute. He also posted a picture of the security guards. And he wrote, "Don't know their Twitter or Instagram handles, but I took pictures." Normally, I'm like, whatever. But today was really weird and uncomfortable. And they made a point to make me feel small and useless, the Instagram post added, according to the screenshot. It continued, "Definitely one of the most uncomfortable travel days I've ever had. Thanks, NYC. You're so progressive and accepting." So, in another post that he still has up, he shared a selfie. And I'll go back to that right here. A little easier to see. Actually, I can make it a little bigger for you guys and read the writing a little better. He says, "Finally leaving JFK, and I never want to come back again." So apparently, here's what happened, folks. He was at the airport coming back from India, traveling from show to show, sick. Think we all know Matt Riddle has a manner of speaking. Well, I think you all know what I'm saying. Guy sounds like he's fucking stoned all the time, and he may have gone had a drink, which fucking everyone does at the airport when they're waiting on a flight. No big deal. But it looks like they were trying to not let him on the flight. They thought he had drugs because of the way he talked. Meanwhile, this guy's been through a shitload of flights. He's not feeling well. And this, I don't know what the security guards were doing. I don't know if this guy was strip searched or what. But, man, what a tough fucking thing to go through, man. There's all the bullshit you're going through. This guy can pull up his phone and be like, "Do you guys see who the fuck I am? I'm fucking Matt Riddle. WWE, look right here. This is me." But no, I guess he didn't matter what he was doing. So yeah, they literally just held him. They held him and wouldn't let him go. And I guess he finally got on a flight. We did see that. But, you know, Matt Riddle actually starting an investigation because of that Instagram post right there. Pretty fucking crazy to think that, but I don't know. I guess we'll see where this one takes us, folks. I'm not quite sure what else to tell you on that one, but we will definitely see where it takes us. Norheb is saying he heard a drug sniffing dog smelled something on Riddle. Man, who knows? Could have had a vape somewhere tucked away. Who knows? Who knows, man? But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see where it takes us. A little sippy for me, folks. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, anyway, Matt Riddle causing all kinds of stirs. But, I mean, you know, I mean, guy's been in the news for a lot of crappy things lately. And then he literally has to go and have a pretty shitty day about all of it. So, poor Matt Riddle. Poor Matt Riddle, folks. Okay. So, y'all ready? Like I said, the deal is done. Finalized. That is it. Yesterday was the day that it happened. I think they said it was going to be done by today at the latest. Actually 2 days ago. I'm sorry. 2 days ago was really when it went down on Tuesday. Is when this whole deal went down, and it definitely did. It most definitely did go down. Here we go right here, folks. Bam! Right here on USA Today. We got it right here. UFC and WWE merger complete, folks. It is complete. They did a whole thing before. Now, I was wrong about something, folks. Zuffa was actually a publicly traded company. I actually have that right here. So we've been talking a little bit about something else, me and Smark, and Zuffa actually was already a publicly traded company. I don't know why I didn't know that. I should have. It's been a while, but USA Today actually has a little timeline that I thought I'd kind of run down it a little bit for you. So in 2016, UFC parent company Zuffa sold its majority stake to Endeavor, which was at the time WME-IMG. Then we see right here in... Oh, thank you. Thank you, Lene, for bringing me my shirt. Put it on the bed. Thank you. My daughter brought me my little flannel shirt that's been cold here. Weather finally broke down here. It's getting a little chilly and been cloudy past couple days, so got a little chilly in my house, folks. But then we see here in 2021, Endeavor did launch an IPO, become publicly traded. It used some of the money it brought in from that IPO to complete its buyout of Zuffa, bringing them in as a wholly owned subsidiary. I have problems with words, folks. That's one of them. In March of 2021. So we go down here. So now we go another year, June 2022. Vince McMahon, longtime CEO of WWE at the time, steps down after allegations, which we have talked about on this show. You guys have heard about on every other show. So did that after allegations of paying the hush money to a former employee following an affair. His daughter, we all know who that is, old Steph McMahon, Stephanie McMahon herself, took over as the executive chairwoman and co-CEO of WWE, along with man who swooped in at just the right time, Nick Khan, folks. My God, this guy is a fucking, just a brilliant, brilliant man, Nick Khan. Brilliant man for what he, for the timing he has. So several months later, we go to January of this year, 2023, Vince returned as the executive chairman of WWE. Once again, we talked about that when it happened. And he was supposedly just there to help lead the efforts to sell or merge WWE at the time. Stephanie almost immediately stepped down as chairwoman, and Nick Khan said, yo, I'll do it, bro. And he became the sole CEO of WWE. Now we go to April 3rd. WWE and Endeavor agreed to a deal. There was an agreement in place in which WWE would merge with Zuffa to create, or Endeavor, to create TKO Group Holdings, which would be a publicly traded company on the stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, under TKO. New company would remain a subsidiary, all right, of Endeavor, with Endeavor CEO Ari Emanuel also becoming CEO of TKO Group Holdings. So we see on Tuesday, the merger became final, and TKO Group Holdings was listed for the first time on the New York Stock Exchange. Look at that picture. Look at that man. Look at that man right there, folks. That's Vince McMahon. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. All right. So Vince McMahon and Dana White, he says here they're going to have kind of similar responsibilities. McMahon will serve as the executive chair of TKO until his death, resignation, or incapacity, or you know, criminal suits, things like that. According to the agreement filed with the SEC, with that position, he has the right to select 5 of the 11 directors of the company, and he gets certain veto rights as well. Dana White will now serve, excuse me, drop that down. Why will that not go? Oh, it locked up a little. So I don't know why the website's locking up a little bit. Give it a sec. I'm going to be out of there in a minute anyway. Now, Dana White, however, there we go, will now serve as the CEO of UFC under the TKO umbrella. Khan will serve as president of WWE in a role similar to Dana White's former role as UFC's president. I have a feeling Nick Khan will be much more, how do you say this? Elegant in his words. So here's a little bit on the ownership details real quick. This article is almost over, folks. Endeavor will own 51% controlling interest in the new company. WWE shareholders will own the remaining 49% on a fully diluted basis. McMahon personally owns 34% of the new company, according to its filing with the SEC. So Vince McMahon, no longer majority owner of WWE, folks. That's not, I wouldn't say it's huge, but it's definitely big news. And this company has been owned and run by McMahon for, you know, fucking half a century or more than half a century. So now this completed merger does mark the first time, as it said, we just talked about, the McMahon family has not owned control since 1953. Oh, fuck, 70 years, Jesus Christ. So it's been that long, so, and it definitely started off trading well. It was starting off at 102 per share. I believe WWE the day before was somewhere in the 90s, so people were preparing for this. But it was kind of cool what they did. I'm going to go ahead and get this rolling over right there, and I'm going to shut that down there now. There we go. Finally got that closed. I'm going to turn this down here. I'm going to try Smark one more time real fast, folks. Real quick, I'm going to pop this little picture up here. We got a few pictures of some of the things that they were showing as I'm calling Smark real quick. He's not on. Mm-mm. Hope he's all right. He was, just had a birthday on Tuesday. I hope he's okay. Hope he didn't get sick. I know he's wasn't feeling good the past couple weeks, so hopefully he's okay. That's all I'm hoping right now for Smark, so I'll talk to him later. But, that's all right. We'll get through this. We always do. Few more pictures I'll show you guys right here. This is what it was looking like outside of the New York Stock Exchange on Tuesday morning. Everybody. A big Endeavor picture up there. Then we had the picture of Vince. Look at old Vinnie Mac. Look at that mustache, folks. Guy looks like a fucking... It looks like some Lothario. I don't know. He just looks like he'd steal your girl. Even at this age. I don't know. Looks like he'd be seen in like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels movie or something. If you haven't seen that, check that movie out. Mm-hmm. So, keep going here. Another picture we got here. These were kind of the whole group together. Ari Emanuel, you see Montez Ford, Bianca Belair, Triple H, Vince in the middle there. All the guys kind of together. Now, look at those big belts behind them, folks. Those are pretty cool. There's the one picture we got there. Look at Dana White. Dana White always has this face like, what? They caught me. What? They caught me. Oh, they caught me. You got Nick Khan over there on the left side. But those belts were fucking huge, folks. Look at those things. They had a UFC one, the WWE title, you know, companies joining together. Pretty cool. But you see UFC, TKO, WWE. I think this was a pretty cool thing they had going on there with the whole thing. But there's the last picture I got right here for you. TKO in the green. Not bad, folks. I think this is a very good move. Guys, when you look back to where Vince bought this company from his father for $1 million and he just traded out, you know, just made a $9 billion deal. That's pretty good, folks. That's pretty goddamn good. You got to give it to the man. You got to give it to the man. He's a very, very, obviously a very smart businessman. So pretty fucking cool right there, folks. In one of these other articles I actually have the payouts that went to these guys. I believe I still have that one. After the whole merger went down, though, Nick Khan did send a kind of a big thank you to everybody. he sent out a, it was more of just kind of a note to the WWE staff following the transition. And he did go ahead and send that out. And of course, I'm going to go ahead and let you guys take a look at that. We can go ahead and read that bad boy real fast. As you can see one more time from Wrestling Inc. right there. We can go through all this. This is all stuff we just talked about. But right here, he says, a big thank you to all of you for the hard work and commitment that helped us achieve this milestone, the letter states. As we now begin this transition, we will be in touch with more details in the interim. We will be communicating with each other, with each of you regarding new policies and procedures. HR will also be available to answer any and all questions you may have. Khan acknowledged that the corporate mergers can lead to uncertainty, but noted that they will continue to preserve the special culture that allows WWE to succeed. The letter also assured employees that management will continue to communicate as they continue the transition into a single business. Last month, obviously, it was reported that there was worry among WWE officer employees about upcoming layoffs, as it is standard for corporate mergers. Now, there already are rumors that there could be layoffs actually starting tomorrow, folks. So they're already kicking off those rumors right now. And we definitely could have another Black Friday coming up with a bunch of layoffs. It definitely could happen. We talked about this. It's going to be in office. This is exactly how it's going to work. You don't need 12 people to do the job that you can use 4 people to do. It's not going to be feasible. So things are going to probably be tightened up a little bit. And yeah, we may see some, which I mean, no, it's not good, but we might end up seeing some. So I guess we will see what happens here. And here we go, folks. We're going to keep moving along a little bit here. I might be moving a little too fast tonight, but since it's not, since Smark, I don't think, is going to show. In 30 minutes, usually he's here by now. But anyway, I'm going to keep going. So, of course, WWE and wrestling fans themselves, we know how the wrestling fans are. So, of course, one of them had to ask Nick Khan during this about the potential return of, man, I was trying to be CM Punk free tonight for you guys, but one quick story will not hurt. One quick story. Norab is keeping me up on what's going on in the Impact 1000. Frankie Kazarian and Tracy Brooks took on Eddie Edwards and Alicia Edwards. Frankie and Tracy won. Chris Sabin is now against Leo Rush. Who fucking Leo Hush fucking cares? Anyway, let's go ahead through this right here, folks. Nick Khan was asked about CM Punk's WWE return. And his answer, some people are taking, this is a huge shot at Punk. My God, I can't believe that he said this is, already. Oh my God, this is horrible. Oh Lord, what's going on? Listen, this does seem like they would be very careful if they grab Punk back. I think Punk has changed since he was in WWE. I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway, when asked about it, Nick Khan had a very, which I thought was, again, I said he was spoke elegantly. I think this was a very elegant answer he had here. Listen, he said, we only have respect for Phil. I do love how they called him Phil all through this. Khan told ESPN's Mark Raimondi, we appreciate his run here. We appreciate what he did and tried to do with the UFC. I like the way he put that. Not many people can actually get in there and do what he did. So when we have respect for Phil, we wish him nothing but the best. Right. We wish him nothing but luck in his future endeavors. Listen, I got a feeling that they knew this question was going to come up with all these CM Punk drama going on. I think they 100% knew this question was coming up. I think they were ready for it. I think they had a canned answer. And I think it came out well. I really do. I don't think this is exactly the answer Punk would want. I think Punk would want, yeah, we're definitely excited to see what, if he's going to, be interested in, enjoying or coming back or even entertaining offers. No. They're like, yeah, we, nothing but the best, pal. Yeah, we love you, but, Yeah, I don't know how that one's going to go, but I just don't see CM Punk going back to WWE. I don't see them working out this absolutely historic deal, huge fucking deal, and bringing back a guy like this who has shown time and time again to be a problem. A problem backstage, mainly, but a problem at that. And I think Punk has gotten nothing but, I'm not saying he's gotten horrible, but I think Punk has definitely gotten worse since he has left WWE. I think he bought into the whole voice of the voiceless thing. I think he kind of took that a little too fucking seriously. So, I don't know. I think that WWE and everybody would think twice before taking this guy back. I think they're smart enough to realize that this guy could be a fucking a ticking time bomb, which is what I've called him more than once. A ticking time bomb. One day he might just have, as Norab just says, he does seem to have a short fuse more lately than ever. I just don't see WWE taking him back. Bringing him back, why even entertain it? Why risk? Why risk it? It's been so long without him. Let's face it, folks. We were going to talk about it last week, and me and Smart transitioned into something else. I forgot what we were talking about, but he kind of proved on Collision he is not a huge draw as a main eventer. So, what are you going to bring him back for? He was supposed to be the needle mover for Collision, remember? And their ratings just consistently got lower and lower and lower. I know that show's only been on a little while, folks, but, I even tried to defend it in its first couple, its first month. I figured let's give it a month. It's been longer, folks. It's definitely time to say CM Punk was not a draw for that show. He just wasn't. So you got a guy who's a ticking time bomb, proven he's not really a draw anymore. Could he go to the other company and be a draw? Maybe. Would he be the flavor of the month for maybe 3 weeks? Absolutely. Absolutely he would. But I just don't see why a company the size of WWE, TKO, whatever you want to fucking call them, would risk it on a guy who, as of right now, has proven he doesn't bring in money. Oh, he sells t-shirts. Good. Go open a fucking t-shirt store. That's fine with me. Go open a t-shirt store. I'm going to say what I believe last week I said it. You know what? You want to bring him back, give him a Legends deal, put him in the Hall of Fame, keep him off television. Don't give him much media time. He's going to say something fucked up. That's all I would do with this guy. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Let him end his career peacefully. Be quiet. Go work with your wife and sell t-shirts. Sorry. I still have that picture up. CM Punk is staring at me. See? He's staring at you. He's staring at us. CM Punk is watching you masturbate. I'm not sure that's the face he would have, folks. But he's just sitting here staring at me. But yeah, I just don't feel he is the guy that you want to bring back. I don't feel he's the guy that you want to take a gamble on. I think there's a lot of other younger talent, which WWE seems to want to focus on younger talent more than the older talent. I mean, they've been proving that. They're bringing up new people. I mean, they're bringing Bianca Belair and Montez Ford out to these things. They're, you know, a great, you know, they've got charisma. She is beautiful. And it's just great to have people like this you can bring out. But are you going to take CM Punk to something like that? No. He's going to say something fucking stupid. Anywho. That's all the Punk talk I want for tonight. I'm done. I'm done with Punk. Punk, enjoy. Hopefully next week we have nothing to say about you. So here we go. Hoping this is the... I guess I don't have that article. I thought I had an article with all the payouts. Oh, here we go. This is it right here. All right, so there is one departure already coming out of this merger. And it is one of the executives who I think was actually getting ready to go ahead and go anyway. But, here it is right here. Nick Khan had another memo to staff regarding the C-level executive's departure after the TKO close. A gentleman named Frank A. Riddick, WWE's chief financial officer and president, is leaving the promotion following the closing of WWE-UFC merger. This was according to Fightful Select, coming out of Wrestling Inc. once again. The report also contains internal memos sent to several people within the organization by WWE's new president, Mr. Nick Khan. And we're going to go ahead and read that. Very short, folks, only a couple of little paragraphs here. After over 13 years on our board of directors and almost 2 years after joining WWE full-time as our CFO and serving as our president/CFO, Frank Riddick, not to be confused with Vin Diesel's Riddick, Frank Riddick will be leaving WWE post the TKO close at the end of this month. Frank is a highly respected colleague, and it has been a pleasure to work alongside him. We are grateful for his counsel, support, and dedicated years of service, and wish him only continued success moving forward, Nick Khan. So it said here he actually got a nice $5 million bonus following the merger. So, hey, why not take a little time off? I don't blame the guy. You give me $5 million, I'm probably going to take some time off too. That's just the way I would roll. That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do right there. So, don't know why I clicked that, folks. Sorry about that. But yeah, one leaving. And again, it doesn't look like this guy was a firing or anything. It looks like he was possibly says he was leaving. And they expected it to be the end of this month when they were going to finish that deal, it looks like. But obviously, it's signed, sealed, and delivered. It is done. And, you know, I said I had one thing to talk about with Dana White. There was a comment made. We can go ahead and get into that real quick while I'm doing this. Let's go ahead and get into that. So Dana White actually mocked the idea that there's this huge crossover between WWE and UFC fans. He actually called it one of the dumbest statements of all time. So I was going to read this right here. But you know what, folks? Let's just go down here to the old Twitter. And we'll play it for you guys. Because I can't do this justice. I might as well do this right here. Let's hit this play button and go.
Your thoughts on Epstein. Lawrence said something to ESPN today. He said, where we want to get is where every UFC fan is a WWE fan. And every WWE fan is a UFC fan. Do you see similarities in the fan base, and how achievable is that goal?
Lawrence, I love you. One of the dumbest statements of all time.
All right, I'm going to play the rest, but folks, that was not me laughing. I just want to put this out there. This was not me laughing. That was Dana White laughing at that, for those listening on audio. I will keep going. It's little over, about 35 seconds left. So,
yeah, I don't know why he said that. I don't even know what to say to that. No, there's no, there's some crossover. Some people like WWE, some people like UFC, some people like both. There, I don't think there's ever going to be a day where we turn every UFC fan into a WWE fan or every WWE fan. What's beautiful about the synergy between these two fan bases is they are very completely opposite. You know, there's very little crossover. And again, maybe he was misquoted. I hope that's the case, because I could not disagree.
Maybe he was misquoted. I hope that's the case. No, Dana, he was not misquoted. I hope he was misquoted. I got to say, I kind of agree with Dana here. There's definitely, we know there's crossover. But I believe wholeheartedly that I think there was more crossover in the beginning when UFC was kind of in its heyday with the Tito Ortiz, with the Chuck Liddells. We talked about this a few weeks ago, me and Smark also. When you had those guys out there, fucking, you know, your Matt Hughes, all those guys were just out there. BJ Penn, those guys were just out there fucking laying it all fucking out there. Great shit that we used to see back then. WWE kind of, you know, at the time, was that still WWF? They had just kind of bought WCW. And I think that's where you might have had your heart of your crossover. I think that might have been the main time they had crossover. I think that was it. I think there probably has been a lot less crossover fans. I think your UFC fans don't like to watch that fake shit. And I think some of your wrestling fans just look at UFC and think it's all scripted. So, you know, it's just kind of that thing. I just think that Dana is pretty right here. Obviously, there is definitely crossover, 100%. There's going to be people who just like combat sports under the umbrella. Combat sports, whatever it is. It could be wrestling. It could be fucking kickboxing. It could be boxing. It could be UFC. It could be regular jiu-jitsu matches. Just like watching combat sports or martial arts. But usually you're going to get the guy who likes this or that. You're going to get the UFC fan who isn't going to like the WWE. You're going to mostly get the WWE guy who just doesn't watch UFC. Look, I fell out of watching UFC, but I loved it back in those days that I was talking about. I thought they had a unbelievable set of talent that would just go out there. I mean, Jesus Christ, they used to have Tank Abbott coming out there and shit. Those were great fucking days. Those were great fucking days back then, man. In both wrestling and UFC, you know, they were both on Spike TV at the time. So you kind of, that was another crossover. I think UFC's, whatever their reality show was, kind of came on after one of the WWE shows, if I remember correctly. I forget back then what it was, but, you know, I just think that Dana definitely has a point here. I don't know if I would have called it the dumbest statement of all time, but I think it was definitely. Listen, the guy said what he hopes for. He didn't say this is what I'm hoping for. I don't think it was really a dumb statement. I think it was a little early to make a statement like that. But I don't think it was dumb. I think the guy is hopeful. Every company should hope that's what happens. I hope we convert every fan to love both of our products, and we can all just, you know, we can all make our ratings better and this and that and our ticket sales and this, and everything goes up and up and up and up and up, and every fan loves everything we do. That's a great thought. Kumbaya. You know, great thought. But it's usually not going to happen. It's usually not going to happen like that. So, you know, it's just, I don't know. But I think Dana was a little harsh when he called it the dumbest statement ever made. Probably a little harsh there. For his fucking boss, too. Anyway, folks, news been going around today is about a woman. Jade Cargill, folks, this is from WrestlingNews.co. Jade Cargill has been in the news a lot today. Expected that her contract is up, that she's going to leave and sign with WWE. Now, I don't know about this one, folks. Like I said, I've definitely said I think this girl looks like an absolute star. I could see WWE picking her up one day. Not now. I don't think this is very true here. I don't know. I mean, she's got a match coming up against Chris Statlander. They just brought her back to AEW. They just did this whole thing, a vignette last night on her. You know, so here it is. It says, the article says, Jade Cargill's time with AEW is coming to an end. The former TBS champion recently returned to AEW at the 9-9 episode of Collision, but her return is short-lived. Cargill wrestled TBS champion Chris Statlander at the Rampage tapings in Cincinnati, and Sean Ross Sapp is reporting that sources within WWE and AEW believe she is WWE bound. She's been here since 2020, folks, at AEW. I don't know about this one. I really don't know. It said, you know, at Fightful Select, Sapp noted that he had heard that there were contract options, option years in play, but he had not, didn't know how long she has left on her AEW deal. Alvarez, I read a few hours ago, reported that she was asking for a lot of money for herself, so I don't know. I don't really see her making a jump over there, but anything's possible, folks. But I think this would be one that I think Tony would be nuts to let go. I think this girl has star all over her. She looks like a star. She has gotten better at talking, but she's built like a star. She has the look of a star. She can act like a star out there. Tony would be a fucking maniac to let this girl go. I would not let this woman leave my company. I would do whatever I had to keep her there. Absolutely. Besides the fact they'd probably have her out there within a year dancing with R-Truth. I just don't know. I think Tony would be an absolute idiot to let this girl go, which he's proven me right on that one a few times. So, but that's just my opinion, folks. I just don't see why anybody, I don't see why any company wouldn't want her, but I don't see why Tony wouldn't put up a fight to get her. So I personally hope she stays in AEW. She may even bypass NXT. Fuck no, she wouldn't bypass NXT. Absolutely not. I wouldn't believe that part for a second. But we'll see. I mean, there's been rumors before, and they've been squashed. So this was mostly today, though. This was kind of the big news of today before the other couple articles came out, which I'm going to get into right now, actually. So we got the turnstile count, folks, for All In, which came directly from the government over there in the UK. And wow, boy, are those AEW haters all over this fucking story, folks. Holy shit. This is not really a big deal, folks. This really isn't a big deal. It's really not. Honestly. So, AEW, as you see here, all in turnstile account provided by their local government, complicates world record claim. It doesn't, folks. There's wording here. Let's be grown adults. Let's use our words correctly. And let's get through this. This is very simple. Everyone's got this. I know this. So remember, these words right here, folks. Paid attendance. We're looking right here. Paid attendance. Money put out for paid tickets. That's what that is. Okay? I get it. The word attendance is in there, which means people paid to be there, and if you attended, or if you didn't attend, you weren't there. I get it. Paid attendance, though, means tickets bought for the show. 81,035. Cool. So, Freedom of FOIA Act, Freedom of Information Act, they requested information, and they got it from the government. Now, they said the turnstile account was 72,265, meaning the number of fans passing through the turnstiles in Wembley put it well below the announced paid attendance number. So, is this really that big of a deal? In my opinion, no. No, I think there's a difference between paid attendance and people who walk through the turnstiles. I do. Because there is. You can buy a ticket and not go. You can also find different ways into stadiums, folks. I don't know if anybody knows this. Really, you can. Not everybody goes through those turnstiles. Friend of a friend has a ticket, walks in with his buddy through the employee entrance. That guy ain't getting counted. I don't know how many times that could happen, but who fucking knows? I don't know. And I'm not making excuses, folks, but let's be honest here. Even if whether it's 72,000, whether it's 81,000, it's impressive. It was still a great show. And that's really all that should fucking matter. But my God, the AEW haters are all over the story. Tony Khan's a fucking liar. Look at this piece of shit. I mean, you know, WWE has never inflated numbers. WWE counts fucking like the vendors in attendance, the people at the fucking concession stands. So let's stop with this, folks. Let's all stop. Any company that does shows live inflates their numbers. Okay, you can use paid. The concerts do this. Everyone does this in the biz. I don't see the problem with this. I don't. I know they announced this record, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? If they really did sell that many tickets, they broke a record. Sorry. They did. So I did not think that this was that big of a story. But of course, we're in the age of the internets, and it became a huge fucking story. So, all right, folks, let's get to the last little news story here. I've already been going for close to an hour here, and then we can knock this out. We will knock out AEW, and then we'll wrap it up for the night. Not bad. Pretty painless. I'm going to take another little swiggy here. I'm almost done with my first beer. All right. So, we're going to move on here. And here we go. All right. The man, Seth Rollins, has been the one to take the show. That's it, folks. He did it. He took the number one spot in the PWI 500. And here's what's funny, folks. The first three guys are pretty cool. We're going to scroll down here. We don't need to go into this. We're going to go right here. Okay? Busted Open Radio put out the top 10 here. You can look and follow along with me. We got number 10 for the PWI 500 of 2023 is Cody Rhodes. Number 9 is at Walking Weapon. I have to admit, I do not know who Walking Weapon is. Let's find out, folks, because I'm not quite sure who Walking Weapon is. Oh, Josh Alexander. Okay, Josh Alexander. Sorry about that, folks. I should know this. I should. Orange Cassidy, Okada at number 7, MJF at number 6, Vikingo at number 5, Gunther at number 4, and here we go, folks. Number 3, number 2, number 1, John Moxley, number 3, number 2, Roman Reigns, number 1, Seth Rollins. Folks, all three of the Shield have the top 3 spots on the PWI 500 of 2023. I think we all know that's impressive. I think we all know this is incredibly impressive. One guy not with WWE anymore, but if you watch what he's doing on AEW, make fun of him all you want for the blood, for this, for that. The guy is fucking loving life, and you can tell. He is sober. He is loving what he's doing. He's having a fucking blast, and you can tell. Roman Reigns obviously had a great year. Rollins has been definitely had a great year. I got to tell you, I bet it was pretty tough to go between Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, but Reigns took a little time off. Reigns has been involved in kind of one storyline throughout the year, where Rollins has kind of floated through a few storylines throughout the year. So I think this is a pretty good list here, actually. Cassidy at number 8. Okay. Yeah, I think that might be the one everybody's going to be bitching about more than anything. Is Cassidy up there at number 8? I think most people would have probably put Cody Rhodes a little higher on that list, maybe number 8, 7 even. MJF, I got a feeling, is going to get some shit for being this high on the list. I personally think it's a perfect spot for him. He hasn't had the greatest year. He hasn't had the worst year. But he's definitely had a top 10 year, in my opinion. So I think 6 is probably right there where he needs to be. Gunther had a great title run. Absolutely great title run. So I think this list is pretty good. I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of people that are going to, like I said, complain about Cody's spot, Cassidy's spot, MJF's spot, probably Moxley's spot. I think you're going to get a lot of people complaining about that Moxley spot too. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to find out. We can play this little gif here. Seth Rollins loving it. There we go. He's number 1. But yeah, like I said, I really think this list is pretty good where it is. So I can go ahead and close this out, folks. Let me go ahead and turn this off. Shut down the internets. That'll be a good thing right there. No, Dirk. LA Knight is not on there. He kind of didn't pick up momentum until only the last couple months, I would say. Maybe 3-4 months. So the list was probably already in the works when that was going on. But yeah, he might be in the running for next year. I guess we'll have to see. Listen, before we know it, the holidays are going to be here. It's going to be fucking Christmas. So we'll see what's going to happen, folks. My foot just fell asleep, and it's not pins and needles. It hurts. Oh, not pins and needles hurt. It stings. Anyway. All right, folks. Let's go ahead and get to AEW Dynamite. What do y'all say about that? We can go ahead and get into that. Now, before we get into Dynamite, there was a woman at the show that was shown a few times by the cameraman named Darcy the Mail Girl. You can see her here. You can also see she had something written on her chest. The cameraman did focus on her a couple of times. Here you can see she is actually Diana Prince, Darcy the Mail Girl. And I will just tell you, folks, Pornhub. Listen to me or don't, folks. You can find her over there. So there you go. And I just wanted to mention that before we got into the show, which we can go ahead and do now. Yes, I did see that Nia Jax returned, NORAB. Okay. Cool. Didn't get the reception. I don't think that got the reception they thought that was going to get. I really don't think they did. I just don't. That's just my opinion. I don't think that got the reception they were expecting. But, all right, folks, this will not be that long. I'm going to go ahead and get through this for everybody, and we will, this will be it. We'll go ahead and wrap that this bad boy up after this. So here we go. Show kicks off not where we think it's going to kick off. It always kicks off with Orange Cassidy, but it did not. It did not, folks. Norb is saying Tracy Brooks will be inducted into the TNA Hall of Fame. Very good. I always kind of liked Tracy Brooks. She was beautiful always, but kind of cool. Kind of cool. So, all right. Let's do this, folks. AE Dubs kicks off with Jon Moxley. That is right. Jon Moxley, Big Bill. It was for the AEW International Championship. Boy, I'll tell you, within like 3 minutes, Mox was bloody as fuck. Mox was bloodied up quickly in this match, man. I'll tell you. Starks is down there, though. Starks is down there with Big Bill, obviously, this whole thing that they got going on with the embassy. He's down there. Starks pushes Moxley off the top turnbuckle at one point, and Danielson just sprints down to the ring. Starks, though, is beating him up. He throws him into the steps. Daniel Bryan still really protecting that arm, and I don't blame him for it. But definitely you can see him holding that arm, you know, up in his, tucking it in, holding it in, trying not to throw it. Dirk says Big Bill can't win anything. No, not really. But Bill reaches down to pick up Mox for a choke slam. Mox sinks in. I wouldn't say he sinks it in. I would say he applied a weak triangle choke. I get it. You don't want to hurt the guy. But with Danielson holding Starks back, Moxley picks up the actually made Big Bill tap out and picks up the win. Bill, after the match, Bill turns around and just boots fucking Moxley. Claudio comes running down. It's an all-out brawl. Everybody's down there. But after that, we do get the little teaser of next week, Dynamite's Grand Slam next week, folks. It's going to be Jon Moxley versus Rey Fénix next week. So that'll be a damn good match. I have a feeling Fénix's mask is getting ripped off. Just my opinion, folks. Just my opinion. Then we see old Roddy Strong backstage with Kingdom. Adam Cole is trying to talk him out of the match, and he's like, oh, now you want to talk me out of the match, huh, Adam? Huh, Adam? Now you want to talk me out of the match, huh? Whatever. He's doing it. He's going up against Joe. He doesn't give a shit what it cost him. So he's taking it. He's going to go ahead and do it. And he does. And we'll see what happens in a little while. After that, though, folks, we get Don Callis. Him and Takeshita out there, they announced their new Target, their masterpiece, and it is Okada. I'm sorry, Ibushi. Excuse me. We just mentioned Okada. It's Ibushi. I apologize for that. That is his next target. Callis says they're going to butcher him, skin him. And then he called Kenny Omega a cuck and said he can just sit home and watch it. Must have been talking about Jim Cornette. I don't know. Anyway. So after that, folks, we get Jim. Now I got Jim Cornette in my brain. We don't get Jim anyone in this next fucking segment. No one in this next segment, folks, is named Jim at all. I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking. I'm sorry about that. We get Renee Paquette. She's backstage with Nick Wayne. Orange Cassidy comes up and joins. But he's tired. And now he's mumbling. I don't like the mumble. And then they just, you know, oh, it's just fist bump. Here, boom, fist bump. I'm tired. Fist bump. Bang. Bang. Fist bump. Then we get this segment, folks. Well, actually, we don't get this segment. We get Toni Storm versus Sheeta versus Nyla Rose versus Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Don't know why, but suddenly Sheeta has all these fake tattoos on. But anyway, that's got nothing to do with anything. Not a too bad of a match. It was just kind of all over the place and the picture. And I just didn't really. It was kind of hard to just kind of sink into it. So I don't know. I really didn't care for this match. Toni Storm snuck out a win. Maybe it's because I think we all knew with this new character, Toni Storm was going to win this whole outcast. I think it was. Maybe that's why I didn't give a shit. It's possible. It's possible. But after that, we get Saraya and Ruby backstage. And Ruby doesn't have her green hair, folks. She got her hair. She dyed her hair back. Or she dyed her hair black. I don't care what color her hair is. Great. They talk about Toni Storm losing her friends and her mind. So we do know it is Saraya versus Toni. For the AEW Women's Championship. We'll see that match coming up. Now, this is where we got a kind of weird segment here. I thought this segment was a little... I got it. I get it. They're having a match. They love each other, but they're going to fucking go hard when they get in the ring and no holds barred. Blah, 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 blah. It is a little sex gods. It is Jericho and Guevara, and they come down. And... it's more of like old kind of all they're kind of all buddy buddy down there, and they're all talking, and you know, oh, Jericho makes a like this sappy video about the last 4 years and Guevara and all the good stuff they've been through. I was halfway waiting for Sammy to break out his own video of Jericho being a dick to him, but that didn't happen. That was what I was expecting. Just another video, Jericho being a dick. We didn't get that. We got this right. We basically just got that right there. Just nice. Both of them just kind of putting each other over. And then they kind of got face to face. You know, I'm going to rip you limb from limb. I'm going to beat the shit out of you. I'm going to hit you hard. And Guevara just says, I expect nothing less. That was pretty much the segment. I think we see this match go DQ next week. One of them does something to get DQ'd, I think with a weapon. And that continues their feud, but instead of these nicey-nice promos, we are going to get real promos from both of these guys. That's where I see this going. I could be completely wrong, but that is where I see this going, folks. So, after that, we get another talking segment, and it is MJF and Adam Cole. Once again, Renee was all over this show, which I've said before, I never mind when Renee is all over a show. So she's all over this show, and it's MJF and Adam Cole, as you can see right here. And MJF decided to hit us folks with a little bit of Steiner math. And you know, instead of me trying to talk about it, here you go.
All right, MJF, Grand Slam, the AEW World title on the line. Talk to me about the other competitors that are in this tournament for your title.
Well, let's face it. If I'm a betting man, there's two talents that I think are going to make it to the finals. And also, to be frank, there's two talents I want to make it to the finals because I hate their freaking guts. Roddy the Simp Strong. Let's face it. I know it. You know it. Everybody watching at home knows it. You're faking that neck injury. Now, my neck, yeah, it's a little screwy. But I promise after I'm through with you, if you make it through this Grand Slam tournament on September 20th, I will rip your head off and shove it straight up your ass. But frankly, it seems like you already beat me to it with the way you've been acting. You're an incredibly manipulative person. Sorry, Adam, it's just true. You're a wet blanket and a third wheel. So if I were you, I'd shake it off, you bland bitch. Samoa Joe! You think I'm afraid of you, man? See, I learned at a very young age that it is not the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size.
Oh, shit. I thought the Steiner promo was on there. God damn it. Sorry, folks. I fucked up, folks. I could have sworn when I listened to that it was on there. Oh, well. It was late. People were yelling. Anyway, folks, he did give us a nice Steiner math promo, and I really thought it was on there against Samoa Joe. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. It was a nice little tribute there. But there you go right there. Sorry. I apologize. I really do. I'm very sorry. Anyway. Brian Cage comes out. He's got Prince Nana with him. And it's him versus him. Brian Cage versus Adam Page. I think we've said on this show, Cage versus Page a lot of times. These guys have gone against each other many times. And it's still going. So through the match, it's going. Hangman's about to hit a buckshot lariat when Swerve walks out to the ramp. And this match felt, I don't know why, but this match felt really long. Like it just dragged and dragged. It wasn't bad. It was just, it felt long and dragged out. And then they dragged out after the match. Hangman hits like a reverse stunner for the win. And then he just stares at Swerve, who stares back at him. I mean, this is what we're getting here. This is it. They're just staring at each other pretty much. Finally, Hangman grabs a mic and says, last week you said you wanted my spot, but basically you just stand up at the top of the ramp when it's time to fucking do something while I'm down here beating your guy's ass. Swerve says, look, we're going to do this on my time. And he says, we're going to do this on October 1st in Seattle at Wrestle Dream. And then Cage just takes out Adam Page from behind. But the Bucks are there, and they go ahead and make the save. So that was all right. So after that, folks, we go back, and there is Daniel Garcia with Renee Paquette. Thankfully, Don Callis interrupted, because I got to tell you, I think this fucking Garcia dancing thing is ridiculous. He doesn't look like this is what he should be doing. But anyway. Thank God Don Callis interrupted. Don Callis is trying to recruit him, and literally Garcia just he shushes him, and then just starts like giving him a standing lap dance. Is that supposed to intimidate somebody? Is that what that's supposed to do? Intimidate someone? You're dancing in front of me? Callis couldn't do anything but go, that's money! That's money! Sure. So as I was talking about, folks, we did get this video for Jade Cargill's return. She was looking amazing in it. And then we see she's getting her rematch for the TBS championship, which I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why you would even put time into doing this if you were just going to let this girl's contract run out. I just don't see why you would do this. Then again, it's Tony Khan, it's AEW, so what the hell. But anyway, after this, folks, is where we get the main event. No, actually not the main event, I'm sorry. We get Nick Wayne and Darby Allin, and they're out there. It's Nick Wayne and Darby Allin versus Daddy Magic and Angelo Parker. So about a minute into the match, you get Christian and Luchasaurus coming out, joining commentary like they have been. You get Darby Allin and Nick Wayne winning the match. This was about what you expect. Yeah, a little comedy from the JAS side. Yeah, fucking, you know, the crazy shit from Darby and everything. Kind of the match you would expect. So after that, we get Christian and Luchasaurus. And Christian, after the match, says he went to Nick Wayne's mom's Instagram account and he's upset that she doesn't post enough bikini pictures and makes a request that she post more. Yeah. But then Christian issues a challenge to the two of them, for the two of them versus Darby and Sting for next week. So we got that going on next week. So now we finally get Roderick Strong versus Samoa Joe. The winner will take on MJF, and that's going to be for the BBB bad boy. That's right. The big, beautiful bitch. There you go. Not surprisingly, Joe won this match. I think no one in their right mind expected Roderick Strong to win this match. No one. But after he won, there was still 6 minutes left. So you knew this wasn't over. Joe grabs a mic, says a few things. Roddy is on the ground screaming about his neck. And he's screaming, Adam! This is more annoying than Seth Rollins with the John thing when he was trying to do the John Cena. More annoying than that. He's screaming. They take out Roddy on a stretcher. As they're taking out Roddy, Kingdom's trying to tell Cole, no, you're not his friend. You're not his friend. You can't come. You shouldn't be coming. Just stay away from him. Stay away from him. So what happens? We get Samoa Joe, comes out like a fucking maniac, comes out, boom, chokes out Adam Cole. There you go, folks. There it is. Now, obviously, we know this is Joe fucking with MJF, taking out his partner here. But good stuff. I think this is good stuff, folks. So there it is. That was Dynamite. Not a bad show. Not a great show, but definitely not a horrible show. And I guess we're going to have to see what happens when it comes to what goes on over there on Grand Slam coming up Wednesday night. But folks, that pretty much was that's it. This is what I got for you guys tonight. This is it. I did not know Smark was not going to be here, but hey, I think we did a pretty good job. I might have started off slow, but I think we got this bad boy done. And that's it, folks. I'm going to go ahead and take off. I appreciate everybody joining. Appreciate everybody in the chat room, everybody who's going to listen, everybody who's going to download. I really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Rate the show, review the show, like the show, subscribe to the show. Do all that stuff. Leave comments for the show. Good, bad, otherwise. But I definitely appreciate everybody coming on out. And we will be back here next Thursday night, same time, right around 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Hope to see you guys then. On that note, folks, see ya!